Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Norma Broadwater. I work here at the Goethe Institute. To mark the European Parliament elections that took place the other day, Broeder will speak about some points in his book, which was published in 2013 and presents 15 stories and debates on the current situation in Europe. Dialogue this evening will be moderated by Dieter Dettke. He is currently a member of the Friends of the Goethe Institute here in Washington and also a board member and chair of the European Committee of the Council for a Community of Democracies. So we're in good hands this evening with Dieter to lead us through a conversation with Henrik Broeder.
Henrik, I wanted to come back to a little background on your book, because the title is fascinating, Die letzten Tage Europas, and obviously it's a reference to one of your favorite
Karl Kraus.
Karl Kraus, who wrote Die letzten Tage der Menschheit.
The last days of mankind.
And then you add one, and you openly admit you lifted the title from Walter Lücker.
Yes.
And his book, Die letzten Tage Europas. That was a little more, you know, out of a fear. And those who are familiar with the name Walter Lücker, one of the great historians, of course, for Europe. And he was really concerned about what we discussed earlier. You know, Islamic influence, and Europe is not living up to its own values and all that, that all this is at risk. So tell us a little more about why you picked this particular subject in that context and your relationship to Karl Kraus, that your model.
I know Walter Lücker for a long time, at least for 30 years, and I admire him. He is one of my idols. He is maybe one of the last living geniuses of the 20th century. I don't know anyone really who was more educated and who has a better. By the way, he never studied. You know, he came to university as a professor. He finished his academic career in Germany at the age of 17 with a so-called Notabitur, and then his parents were kicked out by the Nazis from Germany. And Karl Kraus is someone really.
He lives here in Washington.
Karl Kraus, no. Walter Lücker.
Walter Lücker.
Yes, I know. I know. On Wisconsin Avenue.
That's a little too late.
Yeah. And Karl Kraus is someone I grew up with, you know, and I steal from him, I quote from him, and when I quote three times something from Karl Kraus, it becomes mine. And so very few people know Karl Kraus, so then they think it's really mine, and I really don't mind this kind of borrowing good phrases from someone.
The Thistle Award and many other awards that Henrik had, the Ludwig Werner Prize, I think, is the most.
Yeah, and it's not meant to be applied to a nation or to a state or to whatever. So, destructive critique, it's very close to the famous word that was used in the GDR, zersetzende Kritik. So, I am a Zersetzer.
There's a Schubert Award. And then a TV award, right? The Bavarian TV award for a documentary, in addition to the, what, more than 20 books you have written in the last 20 years. Very humorous.
Entertaining, also bizarre, macabre. Yeah.
And we'll come to some examples, you know, would demonstrate this tragic situation of a reality that's really not quite acceptable.
I try to keep pace with reality, and I fail, you know. It's
right.
Everything I describe, you know, is a futile attempt, you know, to compete with reality. And I fail every time. They are much more funnier than I am. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they make me responsible for their bad performance. I can't help.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people misunderstand Henrik because,
because they have no humor.
He has a whole barrage of lawsuits against you.
Yes, and winning them all.
I just want to say, isn't the sad news that you lost at least one case?
I lost more than one, but it's okay.
It's
like betting on the horse race, you know.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. And, you know, Germans take humor so seriously.
Say one word before I forget it. I am not a humorist. What is really funny is reality. And I am a kind of mirror, picking up the reality and reflecting it back to the people who generate reality. And if you consider this humorous, it's humorous, but I am not funny.
Mrs. Merkel is funny. And the guys who are running for the European Parliament, they are funny. Because they do a job that Shakespeare would say, much ado about nothing. You know, that should be the motto that should be put on the entrance of the European Parliament in Strasbourg. Much ado about nothing. Because it's really a funny performance. And with all due love and respect, Dieter, I am not a humorist, I am a realist.
And I just wanted to take a minute, if you like, and say a few words about Henrik and his work, because...
And Chico.
And Chico, of course, yeah. Give a special welcome to Chico, his dog. Now, what I'm afraid of is, I mean, Henrik is a humorist, and he is in the tradition in his writings of satire, political satire. Real satire would be the real word. And that's why I am afraid that what he is writing about Europe, you know, sounds critical, and he gets a lot of attacks for writing what he is writing about, namely the outrageous regulations to some degree in Europe by the European Parliament, by the Commission, and we'll get some examples of this. But what I'm afraid of is that he will contribute to even a greater lack of understanding what Europe is really all about. And the reason is, you know, Germans have trouble with humor and satire. And I have two pieces of evidence for that. One is, name one country in the whole universe that has a university research institute for the study of humor.
It's Germany?
Germany.
Really?
University of Leipzig. Absolutely. No joke. Absolutely serious. You heard about this?
No, you made it up now.
I did not make it up. It is true.
Never heard of it, really.
And it comes from that school of deconstructivism, Derrida and France and others made a whole philosophy out of it.
The people who gave me the prize don't even know the word Derrida, you know. They think it's a kind of pizza or something.
but it is, in a way, it is serious, because the institution that hands it out is the Europarlament. And that's, you know,
and the foreign ministry
organization. They obviously have a sense of humor by seeing that you know, your criticism can contribute to a better Europe, ultimately. And therefore, they give you the prize. And it comes even with the support of the German government, the Bundespresseamt.
Bundespresseamt and foreign minister.
Yeah, so that's part of the government.
Yes, of course.
The German government stands behind it. So they must have a sense of Europe, I guess. And, you know, giving you this type of award,
I really manipulated it, because there was a kind of online voting, and I was voting for myself at least 200 times. but under different names.
There is, and that shows a little bit of German humor, by the way. There is an award called the Thistle of Europe. I mean, I hope
it's
I get my
the
PH
plant,
right here. Thistle of Europe. And it is an award for disparaging Europe. That's what he does. I mean, it disparages Europe.
It's even worse.
The European Union, I should say.
The reason was my polemic and unsachliche Kritik. Unsachliche Kritik.
Yeah.
How do you say unsachliche Kritik?
Well, it's unjustified.
So critique has obviously to be justified, and it has to be fair. If you try not to be fair and not justified, you get a negative prize for bad behavior. And this is something that happened till 1899 all over in the Eastern Bloc. So if you were criticizing something, you were supposed to be doing it in a constructive way. The other thing would be being destructive. And you were destructive, you had two options, either going or going to the prison.
Well, here is someone speaking who was born in Katowice, right, and speaks Polish.
Don't hold it against me, please.
Went to school in Germany, in Cologne, and studied at the University of Cologne. By the way, serious business. Economics, law, sociology, and social psychology, correct?
Yes, absolutely correct. But actually, I was at the university only because of the girls. And I never concluded one of the topics.
So I would say, I mean, given his writings, and he is certainly one of the most prolific writers in Germany, and not having a university degree, that must have helped you a lot, because my own experience is you can, you know, university education in Germany can ruin your writing ability.
Right, and ruin your whole life.
because of the footnotes, and then most recently, not to talk about plagiarism.
Mr. Gutenberg.
Mr. Gutenberg and others.
Yeah. No, I was, this was spared to me, you know. I was really safe from this kind of disaster. But we are very proud, my wife and me, because our daughter graduated last week from Johns Hopkins, which is not a bad place for two refugees from Europe. I think many journalists are really, really basically corrupt. Not in the sense of wanting to be bribed, but wanting to be part of the game, you know, and being invited to the reception by Mrs. Merkel, and maybe having a confidential talk with one of the undersecretaries of state. It's only flattering them. It's only something to flatter the ego of the journalists. But it got nothing to do with work. And this is unfortunately prevailing in Germany today, maybe all over Europe. And I know only once since I started it, breaking the rules is really fun. First of all, there is no censorship in Germany. There is no censorship in Germany. But there is this kind of creeping self-censorship. And sometimes I wish there would be a real kind of censorship that would be imposed on the public. Because this is very clear, you can fight against it, you can go against it. Self-censorship is always justified with preventing something even worse, you know. Das kleinere Übel. Or, you know, if I give in today, I will have the chance to be a hero 2 days later or something. It's all bullshit. These are all stupid excuses. But it's a very strange situation. It is also stunning me every time you experience it. No censorship, but a lot of self-censorship. And at the very moment you don't accept the rules, you know what? Nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. So I don't know why people are afraid. I enjoy very much what I'm doing. And I have no Nachteile, how do you say Nachteile?
Disadvantages.
I have no disadvantages, on the contrary. And I give you another example. I spent half a year, I spent a day. This was a nightmare in my life. I spent a day together with our former foreign minister, Guido Westerwelle, in Ramallah, Palestine. And it was totally unimportant, you know. This information he was giving us, I could read the day before in Jerusalem Post, in the New York Times, and the Frankfurter Allgemeine. So there was nothing confidential. There was this typical foreign minister small talk bullshit pretending to be important. And this was the way I wrote about it, you know. So a week later or so, I got a letter from the Bundespresseamt telling me that this kind of behavior cannot be tolerated. I broke the rules. I have the letter. It's a great letter from the Bundespresseamt telling me, Mr. Broder, this kind of behavior cannot be tolerated. You broke the rules of Vertraulichkeit, confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Yes, yes. So I wrote back a letter, an email telling them, okay, what are you going to do now? Are you going to send me back to Poland or what? And you what? You know what? I didn't get any answer.
Well, it's part of Europe too. Scissors in your head. You know, meaning,
but that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago, but it's still there, obviously.
No, I was in puberty at that time. It doesn't count anymore.
It doesn't count.
No, it's really 30 years ago or so.
You're not worried about what we might call self-censorship?
Yes, there is a lot of self-censorship. And it's totally unnecessary. You know, and I never encountered any kind of... Of course, there are many people who don't like me, but it's perfectly okay. Actually, I like people who don't like me. It's okay. It gives me more material for writing and, you know, supplies me with all kinds of quotes I can use in my daily work. But not liking me is perfectly okay. But there is a lot of self-censorship. I was on a TV show 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I did a piece about a member of European Parliament who is receiving, Mr. Schulz, the President of the Parliament, who is receiving a tagegeld. How you say tagegeld? You get a certain amount of money.
Per diem.
A very typical American word. Yeah. I think it was coined by the Pilgrim Fathers when they arrived in America. So Mr. Schulz is receiving a per diem of 300 euro, that is almost $400 per day, whether he is in the parliament or he is not in the parliament. And he is the only member of parliament with this kind of subsidy. So I published the story, and good luck. The day the story was published, I was invited on a TV show about Europe. So the moderator of this TV show approached me half an hour before the show started and begged me not to mention this case.